goes Nico Gonzalez, Lionel Messi, Lionel Messi! First career World Cup hat trick ties the all time goal scoring record.
God, Lionel Messi, so good. Nick Ashew on the Fan. I mean, this is, look, he's doing this at what, 38? Tom Brady played till he was 45. LeBron's playing into his 40s. Even Aaron Rodgers is doing it. Longevity should be celebrated more in sports. I mean, it really should. We don't use it enough in the conversation for GOATs. I mean, it's kind of, I feel like at this point there's no real debate that Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback of all time. There's somebody that wants to have a hot take and come up with another reason, but you can't debate what Tom Brady was able to do. But we obviously know the debate that there is in the NBA with Jordan and LeBron, and then somebody wants to, you know, disrupt it and throw in another name that's there. But, you know, we don't talk about that playing at a high level for an extended period of time. It should be celebrated. It should be something that's a part of the conversation. And Lionel Messi's right there, man. And that's the thing, too. Like, everybody knows who he is. Not just because he's playing in the U.S. now at this point, but he's just, we looked at this earlier in the show. I mean, if you want to go by Instagram followers, even though Instagram followers mean almost nothing now, that's a whole thing. Nobody cares. But I can just tell you it's not what it used to be, especially since so many were fake. They're bots everywhere. But, yeah, I mean, he has a massive influence around this the world where if you were to go to a random country, there's more likely a chance that Lionel Messi is recognized over LeBron James. There is a very good chance that you go to another country. Oh, my God. There is a giant spider on the ceiling in front of me right now. I am so distracted. Wes, I'm sorry. Podcasting, but I don't know what to do. It's a very big spider, like right above my head.
Spray it with something.
Well, how am I supposed to do it? I'm live right now, and there's a giant spider crawling in front of me.
What type of spider are we talking?
I mean, big enough.
Daddy long leg?
No, not a dad. That didn't even count. This is like a real spider crawling on the ceiling right now. Oh, no.
Can you get your wife?
Well, right now it's actually above a ceiling fan, so I can't reach up and get it because it would whack my hands. No, I'm usually the spider killer. Not a fan of him, but I got to kill him. I'm the spider killer in the house. But I can't kill this one right now, and it's just looking at me. And I know he doesn't want to hurt me, and he just wants to eat the bugs, but you're in my house, man. These are my rules now. And he's just staring at me, Wes. What should I do? Do you want to do the show so I can go kill it?
Yeah, what were we talking about? Longevity?
I don't know. You're just throwing in random clips at this point in the show. You're just like, World Cup, talk more World Cup.
You know who had a long and great career? Brian Zimmerman.
He did. That's true. He's not on the level of Messi, but, you know.
No, of course not.
The spider keeps staring at me. Wes, but I'm really distracted.
He was a very reliable hitter.
I don't know what to do. I need to kill this. I am compelled in my DNA to squish this spider above my head right now.
Can you do it for 10? Can you, what about 10 minutes?
Yeah, but I don't even have anything up here. Like, the ceiling's tall. I have to get up with, like, so I don't have a broom or anything up here in my studio. I don't know what to do, Wes. Do you want to do the rest of the show?
Yeah.
All right, you just do the rest of the show. I'm gonna go burn the house down. It's not that big of a spider, but it's big enough. I'm being a big baby, but it's just staring at me, and I don't want it to stare at me, because that means what's gonna happen is my wife's gonna see it at a random time. She's like, you gotta come kill this. It's gonna like make its way around the house, and then I gotta figure out what to do with it.
One time, I had a stink bug fell.
Don't squish those; they will stink. Head. Oh, fell on your head?
Yeah. So I was watching TV. I was in college, and I just put my hand through my hair, and all of a sudden I felt a stink bug.
Did you squish it and it stunk?
No, I flinched and threw it.
Okay, so that's good. Yeah, they can smell. I had a bird poop on my head recently. It's good luck.
No.
Yeah, I did. Right on the top of my head, man. Big old poo. Rinsed it off with a hose. It was when we were in Hawaii, actually. And we were on a boat too. It's one of those, like, you know, you go to like snorkel and do all that, and people are like, "It's good luck." I'm like, "Yeah, but I got pooped on."
So people saw it live.
Oh, I mean, like, I heard this, I felt it, and I heard the splatter sound on my head and went, that was either a drop of water or poop. And it was poop. It was white bird poop.
You jump in the water?
No, they had a hose on the back of the boat, and I just hosed off and laughed about it. It was funny. I made friends because of it.
And then you cried.
No, I didn't. Look, you know me. I can laugh at myself very easily.
That's true.
I don't take myself too seriously. So, You know, yeah, but it's supposed to be good luck, but I can't get the spider away, and he's not moving, and he's staring at me right now. This is like a standoff. It's a staring contest. He's not moving. I'm looking at him, and he's like, dude, I'm in your house, and I'm like, hey, spider, I'm going to squish you. So that's where I am right now. I'm going to be distracted the rest of the show. I'm not going to lie to you. I know you have podcasting to do, but you might just have to deal with the fact that I'm going to be distracted by a spider that will not leave me alone.
Well, I was going to ask, how are the boys out in Omaha?
They were great. It was a great time. Nobody got pooped on there. I don't know if any spiders were a thing, but what's that?
They're back. They're back home.
Yes, yeah, they came back. Travel nightmares. Jake Hassan and PJ Glasser had absolute travel nightmares. Actually, no, PJ was okay. It was just I'll tell you this. You know, when we talk about events, I know like not everybody's into college baseball, but it's growing, and it's cool to actually like. It was cool to see with this whole, you know, when they went out there with Game Day Garage and did the whole like. You know, it's all up on YouTube, and you can kind of check out what they did. But, like, seeing it from a fan's perspective and, like, doing the Jello shots, they hung out with Pat McAfee's crew, so that was
nice.
Cool. Yeah, I know they did some networking there with Pat McAfee, so apparently they hung out for a while with their group. And it's just, you know, when you see these other events, like, because we talk so much, right? Obviously, look, I make fun of you, but, like, I get it. Like, you love Ohio State. College football fans are crazy. But people that are fans of any college sport, they... Like, they're passionate about their team. Like, Scotland is about Scotland right now, drinking all the beer in Boston and playing the bagpipes everywhere. But college baseball is, like, the College World Series in general, big event. And it just keeps growing. And it just, you know, they take over Omaha the way Scotland is taking over Boston right now. And it's an absolute blast to see that. It was very hot, though. But apparently it was just nothing but flight delays out of Chicago and into Chicago, and I don't know what was going on. And I guess New York, it's even tougher now because New York, you got the U.S. Open starting. You got the Knicks parade. You had the Knicks, you know, still in the finals before that. There was weather. There was a tornado warning. So they had a lot of that. But the stories are told, so you can check all that out on YouTube. And Instagram and TikTok and all of those others as well. Thank you for distracting me. The spider is still staring at me, Wes. You're doing a good job, though. You're really helping me. I don't know how I'm going to do the last hour of the show.
I tried my best.
Damn spider. You did a good job. Game Day Garage. Check it out. Game Day Garage Studios now, actually. We've advanced a little bit. We've grown. Thank you for that. But the spider's not moving. I will prevail. I will move on, and I will do my very best, which is all that we can ask for, isn't it? It's all that we can ask for. By the way, what's going on right now? So Ghana scored. Ghana won, didn't they?
So Ghana, they added 6 minutes onto the rest of the game. Ghana,
it was 6 minutes of stoppage time?
Yeah.
Damn.
I know.
Whew.
So they had 6 minutes onto the game, and Ghana scored in the 94th minute.
Oh, my God.
It was Ghana's latest goal in the history of, I guess, their program.
Wow.
And, yeah, they ended up winning. They ended the game, I believe, on the 102nd minute because there was more stoppage time after the goal. And then they were playing Panama. Panama low-key started to fight them at the very end of the game.
No way.
Yeah, they started pushing.
Oh, jeez.
They were salty.
I mean, at that point, it was probably a testy game the entire time. My guess was 6 minutes of stoppage time. There was a lot of other things going on. That made it worse, and then they decided that they, you know, you score, and then it's like, well, screw it, now we're going to start a fight. That's how you know. It's like when something happens late in a close game in any sport, and then it just turns into a fight, you know it's just been building the whole time, and then they just finally say, you know what, screw it, we're starting an actual. Was it an actual fight, though?
No, I mean, there was some shoving.
Okay.
And so there's one more game tonight, Uzbekistan versus Colombia.
That's the 10 o'clock game. 10 no midnight games this time like we had the other night in Vancouver?
Like last night we had Austria versus Jordan. I did not watch that game.
Was that also in Canada?
Yes, that would have been. Or it could have been out in California. Let me check.
I know that there was one that was in
Vancouver. Yeah, it was in Santa Clara, Levi.
Okay. All right. Stadium. I keep forgetting that there's also games in Canada.
Yeah, there was one that was out in Vancouver, way out there.
But there haven't been a lot up in Canada, right?
No, right. The Ghana game was in Canada. There's been a mixture it's probably even between Canada and Mexico and the majority of them being in the United States. I mean, look at the facilities that the United States have. It's unreal. These football stadiums that we have spent billions of dollars to make, and it's worked out perfectly to host an event like the World Cup.
Do you know, you may not have an answer to this, but do you know if teams are like going to multiple countries, like playing a game in Canada, going to the U.S., going down to Mexico, or is it just... They're staying in like one place. I know we've got a lot of sites, obviously, in the U.S.
So, yes, there has been some conflict with the recent stuff going around the world Iran is staying in Mexico and just played a game in California, but they had to go travel immediately back to Mexico after their game.
Okay. Yeah, because I knew there's obviously, look, there's going to be complications.
And the coaches came out saying this has messed up with our training.
And oh, I'm sure.
We'd like to fix this.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, that's the thing. Doing it in so many different places like this, I can't imagine the coordination. I mean, I know FIFA's mostly corrupt, but there's people actually doing their job well in coordinating some of this stuff.
That make the least amount of money.
What do you think's the more complicated thing to do, the NFL schedule or the travel coordinations for...
It's got to be FIFA.
Right? I feel like this is actually more complicated.
Everyone's together, and, you know, it's like the NFL, it's one organization. You're with each other every single year. You know the coaches, you know the players.
This feels like it's just got to be the ultimate travel complication across the board.
They probably work on it for 2 years.
I mean, probably more than that. They're already probably working on the next one now.
Yeah, possibly, which is out in Spain and Portugal.
That's right. And then 2028 Olympics will be in L.A.
Yeah.
So big, I'm sure that won't be a mess at all. You know, at least we have the stadiums already here, though, like you said, because... You see some of these countries, like Brazil had the Olympics and the World Cup in like consecutive cycles. But most of that stuff then just rots. They build these stadiums and they just rot.
Well, and that's kind of the stuff that they talked about during the Olympics. They built these like semi-stadiums and then they leave them and they just rot.
And that's it. And you see these pictures of these abandoned...
Yeah, they're abandoned. Yeah.
Olympic sites, and it's just, they're these haunted... You know, luges that nobody uses anymore. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's just, I wonder the environmental impact with building that type of stuff and leaving it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the plants take over it, right?
I guess.
But nature finds a way, as they say. But yeah, you have so many. I mean, you see some of these pictures, and it's full soccer stadiums, and they're just overgrown, and it happens fast. Yeah. But I don't know what the other option is. Do you break them down and move all the stuff to a new place? And that's got to be worse.
There's also been complications with the workers as well during the Olympics.
Well, that's always a thing. I mean, we saw with the last, you know, the World Cup in Qatar too, or Qatar.
Okay, that's right.
That was a whole other thing, you know. So again, there's stuff that runs far deeper than just the building of a stadium, and you know. But at least now it's stadiums we all have in place here. Although everybody's mad. Did you see Levi's tweeted out? Levi's had a tweet for a Levi's stadium, and it just said, I think it was said, like, yes. What a great event today at Name Redacted Stadium.
Yep, because people made all the stadiums take down the advertisement.
I mean, that's the one thing I understand, because unless you're paying for that Olympic exposure, I understand.
But again, I'm okay if that is how they run their company, but as long as they're paying for the cover-up of Levi's and... They weren't actually able to cover up Mercedes-Benz down in Atlanta. That was an exception because the entire stadium, when it opens up, is the Mercedes-Benz logo.
Right.
But, you know, the Houston Stadium, the AT&T, I hope they paid to cover up those logos.
But why, though? They paid to sponsor those stadiums, but it's really paid to sponsor NFL. I mean, for NFL mostly.
It is for the NFL, but they're sponsoring the stadium with an NFL team that plays in it. So I hope they pay to at least cover it up. Maybe not the company, but they pay the money to cover it up.
Yeah, I'd be curious to see, though, what your sponsorship entails. Like, what's the language in that ridiculous contract? That's what we'd have to figure out.
Well, it's the thing is, you drive by these stadiums, and there's a huge AT&T sign.
Yeah.
That's advertisement. And it's covered up right now in Dallas.
So they got away with it, though. So oh my God, the spider got closer. He's like right over my head. Son of a, I can't do the rest of the show with a spider hanging over my head right now.
Hey, just go to break and take care of him.
All right, I'm going to have to do that. Nick Ashew on the Fan. I'm going to go kill a spider. What if the Wizards surprise everybody and just trade Trae Young and Anthony Davis and draft Darren Peterson, number one overall? Or we go even crazier here. They trade down a spot with the Jazz, get Darren Peterson at number two, trade Trae Young and Anthony Davis for the sixth pick for the Nets. Oh, would you tell me that would not be better than just drafting A.J. Tabonsa, number one overall? Now, that's a big, big if. It's a big leap. But, you know, the Heat are at least looking at Trae Young as a big fish. I know that's a report that Jake Fisher had out there yesterday. If the Giannis trade goes down on, you know, right before the draft, let's say, which would be the ultimate. If Giannis gets traded before the draft, like let's say hours before, whatever it is, like the Celtics, who I talked to somebody today too that said the Celtics might be closer and closer here now, and that would be Jaylen Brown. And now Jaylen Brown has said that if he gets traded to Milwaukee, he doesn't want to go there. So that's a whole thing. Look, guys get traded all the time to places they don't want to go. A lot of times they get flipped again. Imagine Giannis getting traded to the Celtics right before the draft. Jaylen Brown goes to the Bucks, but then the Bucks are like, we got to move him. Maybe they even move him on draft night. It all happens at once. I'm going ultimate chaos here, by the way. Bear with me. Just I'm thinking about this as we go. All the conversations I've had, all the reports I've seen, and it's like, what if the highest possible level of chaos actually happens in the draft? But what if, with all of this, the Jazz, like, oh, well, we're not really sure who he actually wanted to. Yes, you are. You want DeBonsa if he falls to you. But it's the report is like they're saying, oh, no, it could be Boozer, Peterson, or DeBonsa. No, no, it's going to be DeBonsa or Peterson, whoever falls you there. That's the truth. They're lying and throwing Boozer into the mix so another team is willing to maybe trade up because Danny Ainge is the same guy that was in charge. And, yes, it's also his son that's in charge and Austin Ainge as well. They're both there. And Danny Ainge is the guy with the Celtics that traded from 1-3 and got Jason Tatum. The Sixers are the ones that traded up in that same trade. And who did they get? They got Markelle Fultz. So they know what they're doing. And I think Danny Ainge and the rest of that Jazz organization are looking to try and manipulate a way to trade down if they can't get DeBonsa. So what if they decide to trade up? What if those hypothetical trades of the Wizards getting an extra pick and Ace Bailey and all this stuff, and maybe it involves Bub Carrington. It might be. His name's been thrown around. What if the Wizards completely revamp this thing even more? They trade down one, they get Peterson, they get Ace Bailey, they get a future first-round pick. Then they call up the Nets, and they say, hey, Nets, the Knicks just won the NBA championship. You're nobody's there, and you have no talent. You have no future. Your roster is a complete disaster. Just destroy their just completely insult their ego and just squish it. Just make them feel, belittle the Nets. This is what Michael Winger and Will Dawkins have to do. Just call up the Nets and be like, you guys, you see that Knicks parade last week? Because it'll be after the parade tomorrow. Yeah, man, that was great. You're in New York too, aren't you? Oh, that's got to suck. Oh, man, guys. So we got an idea for you. That sixth pick, you don't really want it. You got a bunch of young guys on that roster anyway. I saw your first-round picks last year. That didn't work out so well, did it? Yeah, your roster at the end of the year was literally, look, could have been players that play over in Croatia. We had no idea who they were. So we got an idea for you. We'll give you Trae Young and Anthony Davis for that sixth pick. What do you think? Sound good? Okay. Yeah, Anthony Davis. No, he won't sign an extension there, but you could flip him again. Yeah. And the Wizards have a future first-round pick, Ace Bailey, Darren Peterson, and the sixth pick. Come on. Let's buy into this a little bit. Yeah, I know it's crazy, but this is how this stuff does happen in a lot of ways. And look, Giannis is on the trade block, we know. Kawhi could get moved. Ja Morant could also get moved. And I get it, Ja Morant's stock is way down. But I think a fresh start for Ja Morant somewhere, and maybe it is, it ends up, you know, a place like Brooklyn. The Wizards aren't going to get involved with this. And also, by the way, I would not trade the number one overall pick for any of those guys. Not even Giannis. Giannis struggles to play 70 games. Like, let's remember that. Giannis is 31 and does have a bit of an injury history. Not to the level of Anthony Davis, but it does exist. Not saying that the Wizards are involved or having conversations about Giannis, but you just don't even do that. But there are so many other ways with so much leverage that the Wizards have that they could make so many other trades this offseason where this roster looks still a lot different than next year. I mean, look, they got young guys on this roster, and they're not going to be able to keep all of them. They might have to move one or two. It might be a Bub Carrington getting moved. Maybe it's a Bilal Coulibaly, though you really could use his defense, so I would really try hard not to move him, considering you don't have a lot of guys that can defend right now. You know who can, though? Darren Peterson. So the ability for them to make a bunch of different moves beyond just, hey, we are going to have the number one overall pick and maybe some guys get, you know, added in for each. Like, this is the type of stuff that you have to be thinking about. And look, Anthony Davis and Trae Young have more value to them as trade assets than players long term. They do. Do you really want to sign Trae Young to a massive extension next year? He's going to opt into his deal right before the draft. That's when he has to opt in by. It's going to happen. Of course he's going to opt in. Do you really want to pay him $280 million? That's what we're talking about here for a Supermax, which is what he's probably going to command. Or do you want to trade him to a team that's willing to do that? And you, as the Wizards, have a bunch of young guys that can develop. Yes, you're going to have to sprinkle in some veterans, but real veterans, not guys that are going to be, you know, in the spotlight. You want it to be more like the Josh Harts of the NBA. Find players like that that are going to handle a bunch of different things for you offensively, defensively, veteran leaders. Like, honestly, this would be a great team to have a CJ McCollum on this year, right? Maybe then get him back from Atlanta. Where it's like, now you know, hey, you could actually be here for a little bit, help this team grow and build and get better, but the expectations aren't loose. The expectations are, now we're trying to win games. Because you do still have to have some veteran presences on the roster, in the locker room, that matters. You can't just have a bunch of young kids and they're all 25 and under and that's your entire team. There has to be that voice of leadership. There has to be the guy that when he walks in the locker room, the Roy Kent that everybody listens to. If you watch Ted Lasso, you know, then you know. You need a Roy Kent on this team. And sometimes when you got a bunch of guys that are maybe bickering or there's something, you have somebody that has that experience that can tell them, hey, this is where you're wrong. This is where you're right. Or this is where the coach is right or whatever. You need that. But it doesn't need to be Anthony Davis and Trae Young. And like, you see this stuff where people are just like, imagine this team in the future. You had AJ DeBonta, and then you got Trae Young and Anthony Davis, and it's going to win the title. No, it's not. Stop it. That's not a good team. It's just not. Like, yes, it upgrades them from where they were last year. Does Trae Young elevate them in the short term to a 40-win team with everybody else that's there? Sure, maybe they're a play-in team. They were. I mean, that's you're the Atlanta Hawks again. But then you've got to start dealing with what's next, and it's a big contract. Or you decide no, and then you lose him for nothing. I would trade both Anthony Davis and Trae Young, and I would do it either. I mean, by the latest, the deadline next year. But there's going to be more value if a team is going to get a full season out of him. Trae Young a little bit more because you know. And listen, nobody wanted Trae Young except the Wizards. But now that's kind of faded a little bit enough where you could probably move him and a team would be more willing because now it's like he's out of Atlanta. Okay, now he's probably just going to have a fresh start. It's like you can kind of convince that narrative to be more real. Anthony Davis, I understand the idea of like get out there and play a few games, show you're healthy, go out and get 23-10 and we'll move you. So you might have to kind of raise his stock a little bit. Neither one of them's stock is really high, but it's not as low as people think. So now the report is that the Warriors are willing to offer LeBron. Now it's like the $15 million mid-level non-taxpayer exception, which I'm sure you're really excited about hearing all of those details. But then it's also Anthony Davis thrown into the mix. I just saw something was Bleacher Report again. Bleacher Report, we're just having fun with some of this stuff. Not all of it's like reports, but it was like six or seven different trade ideas for Anthony Davis. A lot of them made sense. And the Warriors were absolutely on that list. Now there's also reports LeBron's renegotiating with the Lakers and having this again. You know, but there's more options with this. And this is why the Wizards did it. They still did buy low. It's like, we'll just get Anthony Davis and see what our options are going to be later. They didn't have to give up a lot for either one of them. So yeah, you could say, well, what makes you think they're going to get more for him? Yeah, maybe that's why you hang on to him till the start of the season. But the longer that they are playing for the Wizards and not somewhere else means they are close, especially Trae Young specifically, because he's going to be in a contract year. That value in a trade goes down because you're going to get fewer games out of him. Unless you work on that extension and you know the extension's coming and he says he's going to sign one there and then a team's willing to give up a little bit more. Because that's the thing, too. So Giannis is willing to sign an extension with the Celtics and the Heat, according to reports. They're going to be more willing to give up more because you know that he's going to sign long-term. It's a lot harder to make those moves and give up more assets for somebody that you don't know whether they're going to sign an extension. And then you're giving up a bunch of parts for what? A year? 2 years? Depending on you know who we're talking about. And what's left on their contract, that's tough. That's a tough sell for teams. Years ago when the Celtics were the big draft pick hoarders before the Thunder were doing this, it was Danny Ainge before in the Celtics, they wanted Anthony Davis for like 2 years at least, maybe longer. But he didn't want to sign an extension there, so they never pulled the trigger. They just had a million draft picks. So you can have all these picks, you can have all these assets, but you either got to draft with them. And at some point, you got to have a plan. Maybe we can't use them all. Like the Thunder want to probably try to trade up, turn two into one. The Knicks might get rid of one of their first-round picks they have this year. Certain point where you have too many, but you have flexibility. And it's the flexibility that matters, and the Wizards have their own form of flexibility. This flexibility just happens to be two former All-Stars, or Trae Young could still be an all-star again at some point, maybe. He's still young. Anthony Davis, we're kind of at the point now where it's like, if you got a full season of 25 and 10 out of him and he played 70 games, yeah, he might get another all-star nod, but he's just got to stay healthy, which has always been the narrative. So there's still enough there, though, where those are valuable assets to them, even if they're not at their peak. We're going to have so many more rumors, so many more lies over the next few days. But some truths are going to be in there as well. There will be some truths. Nick Cashew on the Fan. There we go, a little Kid Cudi. Nick Cashew on the Fan. You know, listen, you can find motivation in any place, right? Now the Jets are motivated. They've had, quote, positive jealousy over the Knicks. So my neighbor's a Jets fan, and I swear to God, and if you ever watched him on Game Day Garage, Tony the Jets fan, just one of the greatest dudes ever. But he's a crazy person. I mean, he just bets the most ridiculous parlays. Like, he is what you'd expect from a Jets fan. And he texted me the other day, before the Knicks even won the title, and he goes, I just bet $100 on the Jets to win the Super Bowl. And I said, why would you do that? And he says, because of the Knicks. And I said, you're a psychopath, but this is why I love you. Geno Smith and Breece Hall kind of feeling the same way. Now, I don't think, because they would get in trouble, that they have bet the Jets to win the Super Bowl. But Geno Smith today at Jets minicamp, quote, it gives us a little bit of added motivation watching those guys win that championship. It has to do something for you as a competitor. Oh, yes. I love it. It's so great. Breece Hall was actually at the title-clinching game in San Antonio. He watched it in a suite with Jackson Dart, by the way. Very interesting. Friends with Mikal Bridges and Tyler Kolek on the Knicks. And, by the way, Tyler Kolek was great. There was a video of him because he didn't play at all in the finals. And he's like, yeah, we got an A on the project. He's the guy that got the A without it. It was a great joke. But listen, the Jets had themselves a nice little draft. Let's pump the brakes on any Jets hype. All right, the AFC is absolutely loaded. The Chiefs are going to be a team trying to squeeze their way into the playoffs. It's going to be tough for them. I think we're going to probably have to pump the brakes on the Jets here. But listen, anytime you can find any sort of motivation, anytime you can have any sort of motivation, that's what athletes are going to look for. And I get it. Anybody should look for that. I mean, Aaron Glenn calls it called what the Knicks showed a competitive stamina, says the same guy that fell asleep on camera at the combine. I know it was a long combine, but still, the camera caught him. They were waiting. We all know that. We have all seen the video. They were like, okay, wait. Okay. Wait and see when Aaron Glenn, he's fallen asleep. Wait for it. All right, he's asleep. Get the camera on him. Go. That's how it felt. The Jets haven't won a Super Bowl in 57 years, and watching the Knicks end a 53-year drought, I get it. You think about it. It could at least, this is now going to be the next conversation with any team, right? Like any organization, it's time for us to end our drought. It's our time now. This is our chance to be able to do that. And if you look at it, right? So you kind of now, so when the Knicks are crossed off the list, longest championship droughts in sports. We see these lists all the time. The Jets are the next one, one of the next ones up. 57 years, so Super Bowl III, which is they also have the longest active postseason drought in the NFL. 15 years. Can you imagine? Like, again, we can imagine because we've been partially down this road, but not this bad. Like, you thought it was bad during the peak bad eras of Dan Snyder Redskins. 15 straight years, the Jets haven't even made the playoffs. 15 straight years being a fan of a team that doesn't even give you one extra game, doesn't give you any hope at all in an entire season, unless you're my neighbor, Tony the Jets fan, who bet $100 they'd win the Super Bowl. He's a crazy person. The Maple Leafs, we all know that, 57 or 59 years. The Kings haven't won a title. The Sacramento Kings, back to the NBA. They were the Rochester Royals. That was 1951. The Arizona Cardinals, one of the most, I mean, just nothing franchises in sports. 1947, when they won an NFL title, 79 years. Now, we say this knowing that the Commanders haven't won a Super Bowl in 34, so still on the list. So maybe that's how we look at this. Maybe this is where it becomes maybe the Commanders are next. Hey, listen, they did make an NFC Championship game 2 years ago, so there is that, okay? You have that ability to at least say, couple wins away. You beat the Eagles, go to that Super Bowl, you beat the Chiefs. All right, now maybe we're working on something here. We're not quite there yet. But, look, this Commanders team has certainly added a lot. Look, a middle-of-the-pack defense for this Commanders this year with an offense that we saw 2 years ago, Jaden Daniels staying healthy. They're a playoff team. They're a 10-win team. Even with a tough schedule, it's still a team that should be talking about the playoffs if they can stay, you know, healthy by NFL standards. You've added a lot of young talent to that defense, too, that could exceed their contracts, exceed some of those expectations. And Adafe Owe, the $100 million contract, yeah, but if he lives up to that, you go, okay, it was worth the money. It's not all guaranteed anyway. Leo Chenal, who's not actually Leo Chenal pronounced anymore now, so that guess that's the thing we have to get used to. Chanel, right? Isn't that what it is? It's Leo Chenal, even though it doesn't make any sense. It's going to be tough for me to change that. He's one of my favorite signings with this team, that and Nick Cross, right? Those are the two guys that are young, really kind of filling in spots. They needed help everywhere, but they needed help at linebacker, needed help at safety. You've added two young guys in Leo Chenal. I have to get used to that. Nick Cross. Bigger roles, bigger opportunity, growing, new defense. This defense could be at least, again, just if you're just tackling, if you're just consistent tackling, not where you're watching. I mean, how many times did we watch? We were watching somebody, it was like, you know, Saquon Barkley did it, or whoever, just running backs just jumping and just bouncing around through a defense, and they're just boing. It's like, you felt like you could almost watch this Commanders defense last year on defense, and the Commanders defense on defense, you can tell it's 942 at this point. And you're watching guys just bounce off of guys with the football and these defense, and you're just going, oh my God, I can hear cartoon noises right now, just boing, boing. That's how I felt by the time it was done. You just add cartoon sound effects to highlights or lowlights of this Commanders defense, and there you go. That's it. That was the Commanders defense. That's the summary right there. Just to be respectable. Just to be respectable defensively. Oh, it would just go so far for this team. Just to occasionally get a three and out, so you don't have to constantly play catch up for this offense, would make all the difference in the world. Like, we talk so much about, oh, Jaden Daniels, get him weapons, get him help. Yeah, the help isn't just on the offensive side of the football, though. It's also on the defensive side of the football. The defensive side of the football helps your quarterback. Because when your quarterback doesn't have to abandon the game plan with the offensive coordinator and say, well, guess we got to throw ourselves back into this game. Being able to do that, just to not be down 14-0, 10-0 after the first quarter, would do so much for this offense. It would make such a difference. That's a big start. I know that's a low expectation, but we all saw it last year, right? We all know. Just to get to that point. And they've added guys on this defense that can really help. And some of it also is improvement on who's already on the roster. Do you get, you know, a Frankie Louvu from 2 years ago? That would help. Dorrance Armstrong back and healthy. We know he can get after the quarterback. So you've got that. You start adding some of these other guys. Maybe Deron Payne comes back motivated because he's tired of being in trade rumors. That would be helpful. I mean, if you can start maximizing not just the talent you've added, and obviously Sonny Styles, but, you know, that's different. We're talking rookie here now. But if you're able to maximize the talent that you have on this roster and the talent that's already been on the roster too and get the most out of them, you're elevating this defense in a big, big way. Maybe you end that 34-year drought soon. It's a long time. But, hey, if the Knicks can do it, anybody can do it, right? 34 years. Let's end this thing. Nick Ashew on the Fan. Nick Ashew on the Fan. What do you think about LeBron of the Warriors? What do we think about this?
No way.
No way, Wes? I would give it a slight chance. I still feel like insane. The Lakers are the most likely, but the Cavs make the most sense. It's just how much LeBron's willing to take. Like, if he thinks he's going to get a 50-something million, then he's got to stay with the Lakers, and they got to want
him. He's going to leave his son?
Well, I think Bronny's a free agent, too, so part of the stipulation will just be you got to sign him to a one-year deal. That's why Cleveland makes sense. They both go there together. Go back home and then wrap it up. But, I mean, the Warriors are getting thrown around. This kind of feels like a serious option. He would just have to take the $15 million non-taxpayer mid-level. If you're wondering what that is, it's a team-friendly, low-risk bargain with on-court and off-court financial upside, as it's described with the Warriors. Yeah, look, I mean, he's always hinted that he wants to play with Steph, and LeBron comes from that era. And listen, it's changing. The NBA is not really about these super teams and guys teaming up. Like, younger players now coming in see that and all the criticism, and they're like, uh-uh. I mean, look at Darren Peterson and A.J. DeBonser. They're both like, no, I'm number one. They're going to be rivals, and they're going to be compared to each other, and it's always going to be a debate who the right pick was at number one, whoever the Wizards take next week. It's changed. I mean, Anthony Edwards, I feel like, has kind of really been vocal about wanting to beat other guys as opposed to teaming up. And, you know, players that don't come up through AAU, it's a whole different conversation where they're definitely not going to feel that way. And a lot of people blame AAU for that whole era, and it doesn't mean that it's not going to be totally gone. The NBA's made it really difficult, but the Lakers, the Warriors, the Cavs, those kind of feel like the three teams that make the most sense for LeBron. Now, yeah, you could go with the whole, oh, yeah, 10 to 15 teams are interested. Yeah, well, what does that mean? You know, you're calling up and like, hey, we're interested in LeBron. No, he doesn't want to come to Charlotte? Okay, cool. Hey, we tried. He don't want to come. All right, cool. We'll keep moving forward. I mean, that's as far as a lot of those conversations are going to go, but LeBron and Giannis are really going to have a level of control of this offseason in a sense, too, because there's a trickle-down effect, right? So if LeBron leaves the Lakers, that means there's a good chance that Rui Hachimura is also going to not be back because they can clear up to $50 million in cap space there, I think, something along those lines. Austin Reeves gets re-signed. The Lakers start retooling their roster the way they want that to look. Giannis gets traded to, let's say, the Celtics, which apparently he will either sign an extension with the Celtics or with the Heat. So let's say the Celtics trade for Giannis and they send Jaylen Brown to the Bucks. Well, he doesn't want to be in Milwaukee. He's already said, I don't want to do that. So, whoa! Hold up.
What's wrong?
Trae Young is going to opt out of his option, according to Mark Spears. What? This just crushes everything. Wizard star Trae Young plans to decline his player option and become a free agent. Washington remains the front runner for the four-time All-Star. He loves the team in D.C., but still expects multiple team max interest. That right at the end of the show, that is out of nowhere.
At 11:51. When did they report it?
This just came down 6 minutes ago. I just got the alert now, but it was tweeted 6 minutes ago by Mark Spears. That is a shocker.
Do they spend money to keep him?
Well, the Wizards now, I mean, they'll have his bird rights, but that's the question is,
what does that mean? Is,
so they have the ability to sign him for more, essentially, than other teams.
Oh, I see.
This is, I'm telling you, man, I did not expect this at all. I just said it last segment. I don't think he's going to opt in, or I don't think he's going to opt out. I mean, but here's the issue now. If you're the Wizards, you got to decide, do you want to pay him now or not? Like, that's what it is. It's not wait a year and then see where you're going to go. So here's now what you've lost is a trade asset, unless it's a sign and trade. So the Wizards now lost a sign and trade asset with Trae Young.
Yeah, that's
deciding to who's going to decline his player option. I'm shocked by this. I'm completely shocked. This is
I mean, it's
not
best for him, is it not?
I mean, it gives him freedom, but he's coming off of like he played 15 games this entire season. But it's what that means is there's been a lot of talk behind the scenes about what teams are willing to pay, and he's going to get multiple max offers, according to Mark Spears.
I don't know, man. Like we talk about Brandon Ayuk and the money that he can make. He didn't play. He played what, like four games the last 2 years. And he's still as valuable as we describe. Trae Young is maybe more valuable than Brandon Ayuk in terms of being on the Washington teams.
Man, I'll tell you what. That changes a lot, though. It definitely does. That changes a lot for the Wizards, because if he had opted in, you can wait a year and kind of figure out what you want to do. And yeah, if he was going to opt out, that means that he's got an opportunity to have multiple max offers that are going to be there, which is ironic because there are, you know, it's a difference between giving up assets or not. No other team wanted to trade for him.
Can you tamper in the NBA?
Of course you can tamper. I mean, you can't, but
like,
you
is that
do.
A thing?
Of course everybody does. Players tamper all the time. How do you think how these teams come together?
Well, because I was thinking for example, if the Spurs say, hey, if you opt out, we're going to give you max contract. Is that allowed?
The Spurs, you said?
I'm just throwing out examples.
No, I mean, you agents can have conversations with whoever, right? Like, okay. I mean, to
so
a point.
So it's a free-for-all.
You can't really, I mean, yes and no. You can, I'm making it sound like it's easy. Technically, yes, there are rules for tampering, and there are you can get in trouble for tampering. You just have to prove it. But there are back channel conversations, and players talking to other players can't really be enforced. I mean, how do you think LeBron and the Heat came together? They tampered. They played on Team USA together. What are you gonna do? The NBA gonna like set up recording devices in their hotel rooms? All right, we got to make sure they are not talking about playing together 3 years down the road. Like,
and
it's
that
just,
turns out to be illegal.
Right. I mean, but yeah. I mean, you can't stop that. So, all right. Well, the breaking news: Trae Young is going to decline his player option. He's going to hit free agency. So now the Wizards have to decide whether or not they want to sign him to a max deal. I would not. Just telling you, I would not do it. But they might be tempted to. This could affect a lot with the draft too, and where they go at number one. Whew, there you go, Nick Ashew on the Fan.